Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The thing about Ford that I love is that we're focusing on bottom up. People, you know, people love to talk within the binary of the left and the right. And we're not left or right, we're forward. And people are like, naturally, their minds wants to go, we're middle, they're middle, they're middle. But we're not necessarily middle. We're literally going to communities and going to people and letting them figure out policies. We're presenting data, innovative solutions, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. What solves the homeless problem in LA is probably not going to solve the homeless problem in Lexington, Kentucky. And it doesn't mean that one solution is conservative and one's Democrat.
Yeah.
It literally just means that they're solutions.
It is my pleasure and privilege to welcome to Forward the finance director for the Forward Party, late of the Democratic Party, Kate Sayer. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Andrew. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. You and I have shared so many experiences already over the last number of months.
Yep.
Road trips here, there, crammed into a little compact car.
Yeah.
We drove between cities together. We looked and said, you know what? Why fly when you can drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's driven the one between San Francisco and L.A. They should.
Yeah. I mean, Pacific Coast Highway. It's a delight. So you made a very, very significant move from the Democratic Party to the Forward Party. So thank you for doing that.
But I'm glad you have me.
No, but what prompted that huge career move for you?
Yeah, it was definitely, it was both an easy and a hard decision. I was getting more and more disaffected with the Democrats, been working there for a long time with some high up, Democrats, did some consulting on my own, worked for a couple, nonprofits, advocacy groups, things like that.
How many years were you?
Almost 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So started in the congressional level and have worked at state and local as well. So all campaign stuff mainly. Really enjoyed what I was doing, but got into politics to do something positive. And I really started strongly feeling like I was not doing that anymore. I had told myself, after 2020, I was going to give the Democrats one more cycle. And I was like, and then I'm going to figure out what to do, because I'm like, if I leave the Democrats, like, I'm not a Republican, so I'm not going to go to the Republicans. I'm certainly not a Libertarian. I wouldn't go there. And so was like, I guess I would just, like, find some sort of nonprofit to just kind of, like, sit in and watch America collapse.
Dark, but
yeah.
I get it.
But luckily, Forward was launched. Read your book, had followed you from the presidential, but didn't run into you on the trail or anything. But followed you from the presidential, read your book, listened to an interview with Barry Weiss, and was like, this seems where I'm at. And if this is going to work, it's going to be, it's got to be this, and it's got to be now. And went on the website, and literally the only job posting was the one that fit exactly what I do. So applied for it. Well, actually, I wrote a cover letter, sat on the cover letter for like a week or two, kept sitting on it, had a bad day where I was, and was like, I'm done. I am done with the Democrats. I'm done. I'm leaving. Drink a whole bottle of wine.
And then hit send.
And then hit send. we are now. So I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, I remember when Matt got your application and he mentioned to me, he said, hey, we had a really, really strong, experienced applicant for the finance position. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic to hear. And then when I had a call with you, I was like, wow, she seems amazing. So you said it was both easy and hard. What was like the easiest part and the hardest part?
The easiest part was reminding myself who I was as a kid and what I got into this career for and saying, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be able to help America. I don't want to keep, you know, spinning my wheels. The hardest part was that this is my career. And I mean, you know very well, and people who have left to come to Forward know very well, the two-party system is very entrenched. And so to leave a party, especially when you make it your career, and, you know, that's how I live, was terrifying. So it was the idea of, you know, knowing if I leave, I more than likely could never go back. And so was very scared. And, you know, I care a lot about America, but I'm also, you know, personally ambitious person.
Yeah.
And so it was weighing kind of, I guess it was weighing the risk of it. And ultimately I was like, you know what? I don't care if it's a risk, it's a risk worth taking. So.
Well, super grateful that you took that risk. And I have to say that your position is shared by a multitude of other people who, you make your living in one party or another, leaving is terrifying.
Yeah. I have lots of friends who work actually both in the Republican and Democrat system. So friends on the Republican side and on the Democratic side who have privately told me, I am jealous that you left. I don't think I could do it. I need to make my living. I can't piss, you know, the right people, these people off, and I hope everything works out, and good luck. And I'm like, oh, have some courage. But I also get it. And I'm lucky enough to not have a family that I have to support. So I didn't have to think about, like, children and all that stuff. And I do have friends who do have to think about that. So I give them a little bit more grace, but not that much grace, because don't they want the country to be better for their children?
I appreciate your courage and character and fortitude a great deal, because there are many, many people who got into politics for the right reason, but then have found it to be a bit less effective and more cynical than they might have hoped in their younger years. But then they're stuck. It's a, you know, hey, I've been doing this for 8-10 years. I have some seniority. I have some experience. I mean, one person who made a similar call is in the next room is Joel Searby, podcasted. He came over from the other side, but it's a similar experience where you lose a lot of your professional contacts. You lose a lot of the value network that you spend years and years building up. So I'll say to you, Kate, too, grateful, but also it's one reason why we're going to make this work at a grand scale, because character should be rewarded, in my opinion. And I will say, too, that when I left the Democratic Party, I didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. Little did I know.
You underestimated that.
I suppose I did underestimate that. But but it's something that I actually got a call from someone I admire and respect a great deal, who called me up. I'm not sure I've ever told the story. It's like maybe 2 days after I leave the party, and you know, there's a bit of a social media like brouhaha. And then he called me up and said, hey, man, I just wanted to say it is great to actually see real life human courage. And so, like, just want to express my deep admiration for you. This is someone that I admire. And so that meant a lot. But I hadn't realized that it was going to be a thing, in part because I didn't really make a living in the same way. And so it's one reason why I think what you did is 10, 100 times more admirable and principled and courageous than
anything. Thanks. I would say, though, it's very helpful for people like me when people like you publicly leave because it creates, it adds more credibility to it. You know, you're a public figure, whereas I'm not. And so having that in my back pocket is, people are like, oh, okay. So this is like a thing happening.
Oh,
like,
it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh, yeah. We're making a thing. It's going all the time. This podcast is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Going online without ExpressVPN is like changing while leaving your window wide open. You might not have anything to hide, but why give randos a chance to invade your privacy? When you go online without a VPN, ISPs can see every single website you visit, and they can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and big tech who can then use your data to target you and profit, not to your benefit, generally at your expense. So using ExpressVPN, it's like being a member of a high-tech company that's on your side, where they beam you into a server in another part of the world. No one can see anything you do. Just fire up the app, click one button, and you're beamed onto a completely safe, anonymized internet. They can't do anything with your data. I use ExpressVPN to have that peace of mind. To secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/yang today. That's expressvpn.com/yang. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/yang. Well, there are a lot of disillusioned, upset people on the Democratic side.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that we have to make a distinction about is that, like, I want the same good things to happen for people now than same as I did when I was a Democrat.
Yep.
Same as you. It's just we think that this is a more real, effective way to make those things happen in real life rather than be someplace else where you're advocating for it, but it may or may not ever happen in real life, but you're going to make money whether or not it happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I sat there and I watched the messaging work in a way where you were incentivized to lose on issues so that you could win re-election, campaign off of it, you know, point the finger at the other side, the other person. Both sides do this, but I didn't want to be party to that. I was like, I want to be able to vote for something and not against something. And at the same time, I want to be able to vote for something that I think they'll actually work towards doing. And there were very few times that I actually saw that happen.
Wow.
For the most part, they just put up policies that they knew were going to fail so that they could just campaign and raise money off of them. And that's just... it was very heartbreaking and frustrating.
One of the main reasons why the Democrats might outperform or be competitive in November is the Dobbs decision.
Yeah.
And so in a way, this is like winning by losing. It's like, well, we failed to protect women's reproductive rights, but it's going to be a great rallying cry for us in November.
And that's exactly what they did. I mean, the next day, and there was some stuff that, you know, I really commend Gen Z for kind of calling the bullshit, but because it was mainly Gen Zers out like protesting and saying like, but I'm also getting texts from Democrats asking me for money. And it's like, you had 50 years to do this. Why did you not protect me? And it's very interesting when I talk to my liberal friends, you know, and I'm pretty left as it is. But when I talk to them, I'm like, I get why you're like, oh, no, I have to vote for the Democrat because they're the only pro-choice one. And I'm like, yeah, but are they really pro-choice? Because they didn't even try and get a basic thing passed. Because if you look at, like, Europe, a lot of the abortion bans and stuff are after, you know, 19, 22 weeks, things like that. And if we had come up with something like that, at least you could at least start there to where, you're, you know, someone in Mississippi isn't completely screwed. And we're... they decided not to because it's easy to campaign off of.
Yeah, they tried to pass a bill that Republicans would never go for.
Oh, yeah.
And there were moderate Republicans who were raising their hands being like, look, if you do something middle of the road, like, I'm into it.
Yep.
Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, there were multiple Republican senators saying, like, we can pass something that codifies Roe v. Wade in the basics, but the Democrats did not put that bill forward.
No, because they didn't want to.
Yeah, It's very much a symptom of a dysfunctional two-party system.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want to, like, just sit here and say, like, all these politicians are evil and calculating, because I know a lot of them, they're really actually good people who also got into this.
For the right reasons.
For the right reason. But then as you get more and more into the system, you know, you don't want to lose your job. You start telling yourself you're actually making a difference. Like, it's rough. And then you're like, oh, no, I'll win this one and then I'll actually pass it. And then you're like, wait, no, I need to win this one. So then I'll actually pass something. And you just keep justifying it to yourself. And it's very, it's heartbreaking.
This is the fundamental truth of it, Kate, is that it's easy to paint folks in the system with a brush and say, oh, they're corrupt, they're bad. But a lot of them are good people who showed up and were like, hey, let me do something positive. The problem is that they get stretched in a dozen different directions by this incentive structure that ends up pounding them down and diluting any ability to have a positive impact. Ezra Klein wrote in his book, Why We're Polarized, toxic systems compromise good individuals with ease.
Yeah.
And that's really what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it, honestly, like, one of my favorite moments in history is the American Revolution. And I love the Founding Fathers, have since I was a kid. I have a kite and a key on my arm for Benjamin Franklin. And it makes me very sad to see something that they would never have wanted happening. I mean, how many of them warned against a two-party system and wanted an actual functioning democracy and a republic? I mean, a republic if you can keep it. And I really hope we can keep it. But I think it's up to Forward.
It's coming down to the wire for sure.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Helix Sleep. I have always been a mattress guy. I thought if you're going to spend 8 hours doing something, you should pay attention to what you're doing it on. That's why I love the Helix Sleep product. It is made for me. I am someone who sleeps on my back. I do not sleep hot. I like a firm mattress. And so when I took the Helix Sleep quiz, I wound up with a Helix Dawn model. And it's been fantastic, not just for me, but for my kids who seek it out of the entire house. Don't want to take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine, and they have a 100-night free trial and 10 to 15-year warranties baked in. That's confidence in your product, and if you get on a Helix Sleep mattress, you will see why they are so confident. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/yang and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. So you got into Democratic politics to do good things, and you had a deep personal set of experiences that drove you in this direction. You grew up in, would it be fair to call it Appalachia? Or
yeah, part of it was Appalachia, then central Kentucky.
So you left the country when you were a teenager, but had to come back because of, unfortunately, a really tough family experience.
Yeah, when I had always wanted to move to England since I was a kid. I think it had something to do with the Spice Girls and Harry Potter. Got a job right out of high school in England, which was really cool. Also, they hired an unqualified person, but hey, take it. So I move over there, and pretty much immediately, 2 weeks actually after I moved, my brother got shot, and he got shot in the head. I consider my family one of the lucky ones because he actually survived, but he got shot in an area that has severely changed, you know, his life and our lives. It has dictated a lot of stuff in our adult lives. I was only 18 years old. He was 19. So our entire adult lives have been, you know, my brother, who was this person before he got shot, and is this person after he got shot. And, you know, there's still lots of the same my brother there. We joke. We have the same jokes. We, you know, reminisce a lot of stuff. But areas of his brain are don't function as well. He is paralyzed in his left arm and somewhat in his left leg. It makes it hard to work. It has driven him to worse drugs, to in and out of the prison system, you know, hard to hold a job as someone who is both disabled and formerly incarcerated and is in this country. And so, you know, it's been a struggle, but it was a huge moment. I actually was always political growing up. Actually grew up a Democrat in Kentucky, which is
unusual.
Yeah.
Statistically, at least.
Yes. And it made me a contrarian on a lot of things. One issue that I didn't think much about at all growing up was guns, just because it was Kentucky. I was around them and never really cared for them, but didn't like hate them. And then to watch my brother get shot after, you know, he lived, I knew he was going to walk and talk again. I moved back to England to fulfill my job obligations, and then was there and like witnessed a completely different type of relationship with guns. People had hunting guns and other things. There were parts of cops like that didn't have guns. Only like a select group of their like police force has guns.
Yeah, most
because
of
their populace isn't armed.
Yeah.
So they don't have to like fight with their populace. That ended up becoming my main political driver after I left England. When I started working in politics, really focused a lot on I don't like calling it gun control, like gun violence prevention. I went to college in New York City, and I studied political science, and then was part of the Hunter College Roosevelt program. And so I was like a Roosevelt scholar thing. You have to like apply to get in, and you write a policy paper. And mine was literally on gun policy in Kentucky. And I focused a lot on intimate partner violence, actually, when I did the policy paper. And so much can be changed. And actually, when you poll people, that's like what they want. So it's pretty interesting that I could see both where some sides would block legislation, but then where other sides would try and pass extreme legislation in order to say the other side is blocking legislation, and then nothing common sense or protective can get done, and then these people are like literally dying. And you see that in opioid policies, in prison policies, in healthcare policies, and it's just over and over and over again.
There's a middle ground of common sense policies that most Americans would agree on, including folks who, in what you're saying, are avid gun owners, who would accept certain regs that they see as even-handed and rational.
Yeah.
And some of them, it's possible that you can own a gun and still be concerned about partner violence, suicide, any of a host of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And where there's like a high level of veterans in Kentucky, and veteran suicide is a huge deal. And people legitimately care about that. It's just, there's a whole lot of, I just constantly go back to the systemic issues with our two-party system.
Yeah.
And I just constantly kept seeing that. So when Ford came along and offered an alternative,
you have to do it. We have to build it.
Yeah.
So you worked in Democratic fundraising, and you worked at Everytown for Gun Safety.
Yep. Yeah, I did. I actually started Everytown for Gun Safety as just a volunteer.
Wow.
And I was working in politics, but was doing Everytown on the side, and became a survivor fellow. So would speak about my story and talk to, you know, news and volunteer groups and advocate for people, and, you know, help start the Boston chapter, which was really fun. And then the option to be the Midwest political director came up, and I got that job, and I did that for the 2020 cycle, which was really interesting because it was the middle of the country, which is a very difficult place to be running on gun policy. So, but we supported, you know, it was nice supporting Democrats and Republicans. We had to work really hard to find Republicans. And then it was just kind of dealing with the system that I just kept seeing the dysfunction of the two-party system. even at the local level, because we worked on elections up and down the ballot, and just seeing just how entrenched it is. Like, you can't even say certain things because, you know, you identify as red or blue, and you have to, like, watch what you say, and you have to, you know, only vote in one way. And it was just, it was, you know, devastating. So it's a very frustrating thing, because I care very much about the issue.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, you've been working on it for years.
Yeah.
You know, both personally and professionally.
I started realizing all these issues I cared about. I mean, whether it was the environment, which is actually how I got my start in politics. I started Teen Environmentalists of Kentucky when I was a teenager. A lot of these things are just not going to change until you change the incentive system. The incentives are not going to change until you get rid of the two-party system. It's an absolute nightmare, and it's the reason that we're where we're at now. I mean, Trump, people like to point at Trump and say he started this, it's awful, blah, blah, blah. He's an absolute symptom of the dysfunction.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
The fact is that the two-party system might have made sense at a particular point in time, but it stopped making sense at some point in the last number of years. And you know this, where the two parties were ideologically quite similar for about 100 years.
Yeah.
It was like vanilla versus French vanilla.
Yeah.
And then they started to diverge in the 60s, and then that's just accelerated over the last number of cycles. One of the fascinating things about Forward is the nature of the people that have joined. And your profile, I think, is in some ways a great example, where you grew up in Kentucky, you went to school in New York, you worked in Democratic politics in New York and Boston. Uh-huh. You also worked in the Midwest in Democratic politics. You right now live in Kentucky.
Yep.
And you're exposed to people all the time who are kind of not in, like, one bubble or the other.
Yeah.
And I was on a fascinating email chain yesterday with a bunch of Forward Party leaders, and a surprising number of them had connections to the working class, where it's like, oh, I'm the first in my family to go to college. Oh, I'm the first in my family that's a professional.
Yep.
And so they all ended up sharing this, and it ended up being a very, very consistent thread, and they were actually surprised at each other. They were like, oh, I didn't know you had this in your background. You kind of straddle these worlds.
Yep.
First, do you think that actually is something that brings people to Forward? And second, what was your experience within one bubble or another? Because I feel like you kind of are very forward in that. You kind of bridge both worlds.
Yeah. So I'm going to quote one of my friends here, if I can get it right. But he said, right now, it really seems like the two parties are just this group of elites on either side who don't give a shit about the regular people. And I was like, holy moly, that's so true. And that's where I think you're seeing, like, these working class people. But that's also why you saw Trump had this weird way of, even though he, you know, not a working class guy, he comes across as a working class guy, but also, like, listened to them and talked to them, where a lot of people just weren't talking to them. And so did Bernie Sanders. And that's why you do see some, and I mean, even you did that. And that's why you do see some of, like, Sanders voters move to Trump. I think some of your voters move to Trump. And it's this disconnect of elitism versus, you know, non-elitism. But, like, we're people not sitting in their ivory towers, and you connect very well with them. Sanders connects very well with them. Unfortunately, Trump connected very well with them. He has this weird ability to sound like he's telling the truth, even when he's not. But actually, during that election, I was living in New York City. And, you know, I did some stumping stuff for Hillary in different places through some of my clients. And when I would go back to Kentucky, very rarely, but to visit family or something, and I was just talking to people, I was like, Trump is, he's tapping into something. The good news is these people are not all deplorables, like Hillary said.
Yep.
There are people who are sold on him, and it's just not going to change. But there is a good group of people who just want to be listened to.
Yep.
They want things to change. They're not necessarily even super far right if you talk to them policy-wise.
No.
Like, they're like free universal health care, but they just like have nowhere to go. And I think Forward is providing that, and it's providing that in such a positive way where it's not inciting anger and violence, and it's really giving these people a place to go. And it's given me a place to go. A lot of my friends want to come over, and it's really interesting. And so being in the two, and then the second part of the question, the two bubbles were just so strange, especially during the Trump years. Going back to Kentucky and being like, listening during the primary too, where people are like, oh, well, like iffy about Trump. And then by the time he won the primary, like completely sold on him, like in love with him. And then Hillary said the deplorable thing, and they were like even more sold. They were like, you're going to call me deplorable because I'm thinking about voting for this guy? You've sold it. I've got it. This is who I'm voting for. And then coming back to New York, I remember I was working full-time and in school full-time. I took the long way through college. But I was sitting in class, and someone was talking. We were talking about environmental policy, and Trump had just won. And everyone was still reeling, but, you know, we were just trying to get through class and everything. And, you know, middle of New York City, Upper East Side. And this girl in my class was like, have you guys ever even seen SUVs? Like, what are the point of them? And I was like, you are the reason Trump won. Like, I was livid. I was like, have you ever been to anywhere else in America other than Manhattan? Because SUVs are useful, and people who have three kids kind of need them, or a van. And we should be working on policies that make better SUVs for the environment and promote American jobs in making those, like electronic cars and other things like that, not shaming people who drive SUVs out of necessity. And so I was like jumping from bubble to bubble, and it was very strange. And then people were shocked. Back home, my best friend worked for Mitch McConnell back then. And so she left shortly after Trump was elected, but she was a field rep in Kentucky for Mitch McConnell, and I'm over here working for like a prominent Democrat. And people are like, how are you guys best friends? Like, and when I say best friends, she's like my sister.
Yeah.
And we're like, because we're normal human beings who can have normal discussions, and we love each other, and we agree actually on a lot of things.
Wow.
And it was always, people were always just like, whoa, no way. And at first it was endearing to some of like my clients. And then after a while it was like, wait, no, we have like the other side is evil. They need to be painted as evil. We don't associate with them, blah, blah, blah. And I have my problems with Mitch McConnell, like, don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to sit there and call my best friend evil.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
One of the things I was proudest of, Kate, was that there were people who were on the outside looking in who felt like I was trying to help them. And I've reflected a little bit on why this was or is. And part of it is that I was clearly not of the establishment. And I think a lot of these people just feel like the establishment is looking down on them and doesn't give a shit about them. And
absolutely.
And because clearly the Asian dude is not,
yeah.
You know, like you're not going to send the Asian guy who wants to give everyone money.
Yeah.
So that was a part of it. But there was another thing that really spoke to me and touched me, where I ran into a supporter and her mother, avid Fox viewer, and said that Yang was the only Democrat that she'd support or consider supporting because he's the only one who doesn't seem like he's judging me.
Yeah.
And so much of Trump's appeal is that he seems like he's listening to or speaking for people who don't feel like they're seen or heard in American life.
Yep.
And I naturally felt like these were folks that Democrats should be representing and fighting for, because most of them are working class. And I had this view in my mind that it's the waitress or the former manufacturing worker that are the lifeblood of what the Democratic Party should be about. When I was out there in the Midwest and found out that a lot of those people did not like Democrats, it made me sad, honestly.
Yeah.
But there's something that we need to help capture, which is what you said, is that, look, we just want to make things better for regular people.
Yep.
And this system is separating folks into these factions when really what is making us angry and miserable is shared by both the mom in Harlem and the person, you know, the struggling family in Kentucky West Virginia. Like, it's the same stuff. It's just that this system is pitting us against each other.
Yep.
So that we're all going to lose.
Yep. And we're also told that there's only one solution, right? Like, people in, you know, the struggling mom in Harlem and the struggling farmer in Kentucky might be dealing with similar issues, and like both dealing with, you know, systematic problems on getting a job or battling corporations, that kind of thing.
Childcare, what have you.
Childcare, things like that. But the solutions there in rural Kentucky versus Harlem are going to be different.
Yep.
And that's not a bad thing.
No.
That's a good thing. And what the way that we structure politics now, because the parties have so much control, is they basically say, if you're a Democrat, you must believe these things. They must work in the rural Kentucky and in the Harlem.
Which, by the way, gives up on 70% of the country geographically, because your stuff's never going to fly in, you know, most rural areas, which, like, at least by land mass, is most of the country.
Yeah. And so, and the thing about Ford that I love is that we're focusing on bottom up. So we really, we're not people, you know, people love to talk within the binary of the left and the right. And we're not left or right, we're forward. And people are like, naturally, their minds wants to go, we're middle, they're middle. But we're not necessarily middle. We're literally going to communities and going to people and letting them figure out policies. We're, you know, we're presenting data, innovative solutions, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. What solves the homeless problem in LA is probably not going to solve the homeless problem in Lexington, Kentucky. Like, they're just two different places. And it doesn't mean that one solution is conservative and one's Democrat.
Yeah.
It literally just means that they're solutions.
Yeah.
And that's why, and so.
There has to be a new approach.
Yes.
To policy and solving problems.
Just out of the binary.
So. Out of the binary.
Yep.
I will confess to you, Kate, some of the things I want to see in the world are pretty far out.
Yeah.
I just don't think that our current political system has any interest in delivering
a
whole host of things.
Not at all. And Forward offers an opportunity because we support things like Final Five voting, open primaries, ranked choice voting. As we move through these states and these cities and these localities, what we're trying to do is we're trying to fight to open the system. So some of my friends who are like sick of both sides, they're like, I'm done. Like, these elites don't care about me. Where do I go? I'm like, you know what? Come to Forward. Help us open the system up.
Yes.
And then if there's six parties and you fit better with that party over there,
go.
Leave.
It's
go.
Just right now you don't have that choice.
Yeah. But right now
you
have literally no option.
Yeah.
And so, and most of them are like, that makes sense. Okay. And it's like, there you go. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have to take this message out to people as quickly and effectively as we can in different ways, because a lot of people, you know, that they have their hands full just getting by, and you know, you have to make it work for them and relevant.
Yeah.
So thank you again for being such a patriot person of character, like a real leader.
Thanks.
I've really enjoyed spending time with you everywhere we've been.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and you and I are two of the primary figures responsible for making sure that Forward gets the resources it needs.
Yes, it is. No pressure. Great.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of help, but we also have our fair share of work to do. So if you had any guidance or advice for someone who wants to learn more, spread the word, get involved, what do you say to, because it sounds like you've been doing a great job with your friends.
Yeah. Go to forwardparty.com, sign up. I actually, when I'm just wandering around Kentucky, I live in this small town right outside of Lexington now in central Kentucky. I go to the local bar all the time, and most of them are Trumpers. Most of them think you're cool. Most of them love, like, what, when I talk to them about open primaries, Final Five, ranked choice voting, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, that's fine. Like, that sounds good. I would vote for that. And I'm like, of course you would. And then I go into Lexington, which has a more blue, like, is red,
College
but
town.
Has a more, yeah. And my stepmom actually is very, very involved with the community in Lexington, and I'll run into people with her, and they'll be like, well, I'm traditionally Democrat, or I vote Democrat specifically because I don't want to vote, like, only because I don't want to vote for, like, Trump's party. And I'll just talk to them about Forward, and actually my stepmom's doing a good job of doing that too, but they'll just talk about Forward, and they'll be like, oh, I'm sold, I'm done. And, like, right then and there, people just, like, sign up for it. So... So forwardparty.com, that's the best way you can sign up and learn more information and you know, figure out what you want to do. But there's so much to do, and we have active people in literally all 50 states.
It's pretty wonderful.
It's insane. I've worked in politics a long time, not as long as everybody else at Forward, but or some of the other people at Forward, but I have seen enthusiasm come and go in waves, you know, on the Democratic side. I have never seen enthusiasm the way that I see it with Forward. And I'm getting this, you know, I work a lot with donors, and I'm getting some of this from donors, but then when I deal with, like, the grassroots people, when we do events, when we're traveling, I'm just, like, blown away.
The people want this.
They want it so bad. And the people who don't have time to volunteer and stuff, who maybe stop by the events, or who I talk to in Kentucky, or, you know, whenever I'm traveling and just talk to randomly, they want it. They want it bad. And they just want to, like, know when it happens so that they can just be a part of it. So
I feel the same thing, Kate. And I feel this responsibility to bring this to them.
Yeah.
Well, because the average person, and here's the thing, is like you have these two behemoth parties, you know, like multi-billion-dollar parties, and then we're like this scrappy upstart being like, hey guys, let's like fix the system, like let's try and align the incentives, like do this thing. And the average American needs to get, frankly, like tapped on the shoulder and be like, hey, like there's this race, there's this thing in your community, it's going to be relevant to you. And so we just need to build the org to a point where it arrives in their community, whether that's like a local event, whether that is like a school board or city council or congressional race or whatever it is. But I feel very, very much in my bones that if we bring this to them, then millions of Americans and you know, I get thanked every day just walking around. People are like, oh, that, because there's like this instinct that people have still that there's like this machinery and then we're trying to build something outside of the machine to improve the machine. And so folks who are not that politically engaged just sense that we're trying to do something positive.
Yep.
And they just come up to me every day. And sometimes I can sense that they don't really, frankly, like know the ins and outs of what
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they just sense that we're fighting for them.
Yeah.
And they just come up and they're just like, hey, you know, thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love walking down the street with you sometimes and seeing when people get excited and especially when they're like, forward, man, forward. And I'm like, yes, it's so great. It's actually like one of my favorite moments. Although I do love the random people who are like scared to approach you too. I think those ones are really funny.
Oh yeah, I'm a fairly friendly guy, as you know.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm trying to get you from place to place, too friendly. I'm like, stop taking pictures. We gotta go.
We gotta go. Well, Kate, I'm so glad that you decided to join us. You've made us better and stronger every step of the way, and I've learned
Thanks.
A ton from you. And we have a lot of work to do, but you're going to be like an enormous part of us getting where we need to go.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Thanks for, you know, taking a chance on me like I took a chance on you guys. And,
I think you took a bigger chance than we did.
It's been great, though. Haven't regretted a single day. So I have loved every second of it, and I can't wait to keep going.